Yeah, as it is actually our second last week together. Just one, I have been kind of moving through all these modules quite slowly and systematically. There is kind of quite a lot of repetition. Again, that Tibetan word gom being familiarization, and that we continue to familiarize ourselves with these practices and hopefully, add a little bit more time and depth for the experience as well. Is there anybody online
We got Ash and Dang.
today? Action time. Ash, I think, has been there quite a lot.
Yeah, actually.
Thanks for joining, Ash and
Yeah.
Dan. We've got a few people here today. So just wondering if you care to share, like, what's been, have you been able to implement some of these practices into your daily life? So far, have you found that you've been able to create a space for some daily meditation practice? If not, have you been able to kind of try to infuse the teachings into your daily life in different ways? What have you found difficult, challenging? What has been helpful? Does anybody want to share?
Well, like last week, where you talked about we did the meditation about ourselves first and then the other person. I was thinking about that a lot.
The perspective
Yeah,
taking, and you've been trying to bring that into different situations.
and just think back of really, but really think about from their point of view, like not just a cursory thought, just really deep thinking about it.
Really deep thinking about
Yeah.
it. Like that this is their reality,
Yeah.
right? That they're experiencing, and try to create some, again, common ground for experiencing their reality, feeling that. Wonderful. It's funny that you mentioned that. I mean, I agree, like that's actually something that I've been reflecting on and analyzing is just the powerful combination of compassion and wisdom together in practice, like through analytical meditation or through just like daily life experience of how can we infuse wisdom and compassion. As the two wings of the bird, how can we kind of bring them into our daily life experiences? And I find that it's more powerful that way. Like even a lot of the time, like in different practices, in Buddhist practices, sometimes you're like, okay, we're going to focus on wisdom now, or we're going to focus on compassion now. But actually finding ways to bring them together is, I think, really, really powerful. So role modeling the experience opened kind of the door for that person to do it as well.
And it was like said straight away that had such an ease with just one.
Yeah, fantastic. So, I mean, that's a perfect example of how you kind of bring it into your daily life, right? And different relationships and experiences. And often we feel hesitant, I think, because of our own insecurities or doubts or fears to kind of open up and share, right? And then when we do that, it's like, wow, the other person immediately responds like so naturally, right? And it's like just taking that step sometimes. Yeah, fantastic that Ash, you've been consistently doing that each morning. That's, I think, one of the toughest things to kind of stay consistent and, in our busy lives and trying to manage everything that we've got with our work and whatever else, family responsibilities, wanting to get some exercise in as well, or whatever it is, right? Like for you to just kind of have that discipline time is so important to kind of continue, continually doing it, right? It's like what I've said before about like the yoga practice of like, wanting to get more flexible. And if we don't do that every day, 1 week later, it's like we're starting back again. So it's just that daily work that is so important, right? So we're going to spend a little bit more time with some of these meditation practices today. It'll be more of a meditation session with some breaks in between. But to spend just a little bit more time on the cushion with these practices, especially just with the breath and equanimity, and then a little bit of introspection as well. And just kind of analyzing, how that feels, how we experience that, and try to connect with it, on a deeper level, so that it becomes a greater part of our experience. So I've got a quote here from, one of our founders of FBMT, Lama Thubten Yeshe, who says, when you feel strong emotions arising, which we do, right? Anger or impatience or frustration, passion in some way, instead of getting busy, 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 instead of nervously doing something, just relax and try to be silent. That there are many ways of doing this. And instead of letting your emotions run wild with your mind, unable to forget whatever it is that's bothering you, sit down, relax, and focus your mind on the flow of your breath. And that's really what we're going to do today. And just watch exactly how your breath flows into your nervous system on inhalation and out of it on exhalation. This is very simple. When you concentrate on your breath, you automatically calm down. So we're going to try to spend a little bit of time, like we've made this incredible effort to be here, either in person or online. We all have our busy lives, right? And that we've made this decision to connect with ourselves and with each other and with the practice. So really it's important to try to, establish first like a really good motivation for being here. And it can be, in Buddhism, a bodhicitta motivation, a motivation in terms of cultivating greater compassion and love for others, right? So with boundless wisdom and compassion, I will work for the benefit of all. May we be free of hunger and discord and have joy and a world at peace. So we're establishing this motivation because, what we're trying to do is connect to this deep wish to be happy and free from suffering, and hope the same for all beings. So in order to do that, we have to also learn how to calm our mind and focus our mind. In order to kind of develop and generate kind of more wholesome states, connect to like our best selves, our values, our ethics. In order to do these things, right, we also have to learn how to calm our minds and be at ease and be kind of an experience this kind of mental balance, right? So we're going to continue to focus on our breath to try to create this ease, and learn how to continue to work with our monkey minds, right? Because, we get easily distracted, don't we? Right? And we have to understand and give ourselves a little bit of grace that like this mental wandering is extremely natural. It's like what our brain does, what our mind does. So from a neuroscience perspective, it's related to something called the DMN, default mode network. Okay. And the default mode network is essentially connected to like thinking about the past, thinking about the future. Do you love making plans? Right? Like a lot of that is like that default mode network, right? Like, as I think the Beatles said, like life is what happens when you're busy making plans, right? We're like constantly in the past, thinking about maybe mistakes we made or reflecting on something. And then we're very often in the future making plans, thinking about our next holiday, thinking about what's happening next week or the weekend or whatever, right? and often thinking about ourselves, our own experience, kind of caught up in, you know what Lama Zopa Rinpoche would say is our self-cherishing mind or self-cherishing attitude as well. And so actually what scientists have found is that people with depression and anxiety actually spend too much, have increased activity in their default mode network. There's too much time spent kind of worrying about the past or planning for the future. Too much time spent like with things kind of out of our control. So essentially, like if you look at that, you know, often these same neuroscientists like Dr. Richard Davidson will say that like something along the lines of like a happy mind is a focused mind, right? Or an unhappy mind is like a wandering, undisciplined mind. Because there are percentages, I think, of like looking at this default mode network activity of what the average percentage of like our thoughts are positive, negative, and neutral. But I think in general, there's kind of like a pretty even spread between those different states. And so what we're trying to cultivate again is this equanimity, right? Not grasping at positive feelings and thoughts and emotions, not feeling aversion to negative thoughts and emotions, right? But experiencing it with a balanced attitude, with equanimity. Does that make sense? Okay. So by strengthening our ability to focus on a specific task, like in this case, like an object of meditation, like the breath, right? It's been proven to improve our executive functioning skills. Okay, so our executive functioning skills, I've listed a bunch of examples here, right? Like so many of those things that help us in our day-to-day life, right? Our ability to plan, our ability to time manage, right? Our ability to kind of just do those things that, you know, we need to figure out for our day-to-day life, right? Going to the grocery store and shopping, creating the grocery list, trying to be efficient with that, right? Planning out our day, what our schedule looks like, getting started on tasks, right? Without delay or excessive delay. Do some of these look like things that you have a hard time with? Definitely for me. I'm not good at that. I'm not good at that either. I think there are things that we find challenging, these executive functioning skills, because we're living in a world of increased distraction, right? And part of the reason is because of these devices we hold in our hands, and that's I think a huge part of it. This, like, we are more and more connected than ever. And so it's really hard to just like switch off the phone when we're focusing on our practice, on our meditation, on our study, on our work, or whatever tasks we have, right? Because we're always like, you know, we have FOMO or whatever it is, right? So this challenge that we have of like working with our distractions has become more powerful than ever. But hopefully through this practice, we can learn to have a more balanced state of mind, a more calm state of mind, and then use that to develop more wholesome states of mind as well. So compassion, wisdom, like we've been talking about, ethics, values, right? Trying to lead a more ethical, wholesome life that's in line with being the people we want to be. So this is, I think, an example of working with our mind, really, like a little analogy. In Australia, is it where's Wally or where's Waldo?
Wally.
Of course it is. Silly question. So it's where's Wally, right? So like, for example, if you look up on the screen, right, and we're looking at our mind like this object of concentration. And the object of concentration, let's say, is the red and yellow umbrella. kind of in the middle of the beach. Do you see it? The red and yellow umbrella, right? Just take a minute to focus on the red and yellow umbrella. Not easy, is it?
<It's a lot. laughs>
Right? And this is like, I feel like this is like an analogy for our minds, but really just take a minute to focus on it. So do you notice how like the mind tends to wander to the other drawings on the beach? Or even if it didn't, did it want to? Probably wanted to, probably had like this desire to, right? See what else is going on, right? What else is happening on the beach, you know? Check out all the different, you know, people hanging out, the swimsuits, who's eating what, who's ready to jump in, okay? So there's like an effort that is required to stay on the umbrella. And everything else seems like really interesting. And I think that's it's a good kind of metaphor or analogy for like with our mind and just focusing on the breath. It does require an effort, right? But that doesn't mean that you can't kind of have a relaxed, curious attitude during the practice. And that if your mind does kind of, or your attention does wander to other parts of the beach, that you come back to the umbrella as one method, right? Or you observe when it goes to the different things and you just kind of observe with open awareness. So it's like, okay, I'm not at the umbrella anymore. Suddenly I'm at like the red and white tent and, you know, in the top right corner, and you're observing that and you're aware that you're observing that. You haven't kind of become like lost on the beach, right? But you've become aware of the different thoughts, right? So this is kind of like two, I guess, methods for explaining like what happens in our mind when we're just like, we've got our monkey mind and all these different thoughts. One method is to return again and again and again to the umbrella, right? And the other method is, okay, my mind keeps going to all these different places, observing those different places that it goes with awareness, right? Both ways, there is awareness, there is focus and awareness. And you can experiment with both, right? You can practice both. Does that make sense? Right? And then, you know, like the meditative approach to distractions and the Buddha's approach is a very gentle approach as well. Like, you know, instead of blocking distractions, instead of when like the distractions come and we start like thinking about something else, we see something else in the picture or whatever, in that picture of our mind, something else comes up. Instead of trying to impulsively, again, like I said, shut the door or block it, turn away from it, right? And just notice and just be aware of them without judgment, without frustration, right? And the key to this is like really working with equanimity in our minds, right? Neither grasping nor rejecting, because we have these judgmental minds that are doing that all the time. Whatever we experience, we're deciding like, this is something I like or I don't like, or neutral, right? So just again and again and again, observing with awareness, observing with equanimity, and then returning back to the breath. All right, just being. And it's like there's this key balance also, which I think, you know, all of us will continue to struggle with as we continue this practice, is like the balance of being focused and relaxed at the same time, right? Disciplined and at ease, that middle way approach, right? Disciplined and at ease, right? Not so uptight, not so highly strung that it's creating tension for us, right? For our minds, and also not so chill or relaxed that we kind of fall into just, you know, fall asleep, right? Okay, so how do these methods relate to the where's Wally image? Right, but just in that same way, either returning again and again to the umbrella or observing, right? Whatever, where your mind goes, so just observe it with awareness. Yeah.
Good question. With the observing where your mind goes, if you, you know, you really can't keep bringing it back because that gets absolutely hard to do.
Yeah.
Well, it is hard to do. Sometimes I find that I get almost like I'm like hyper aware that I'm observing my own mind.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to cause, I suppose, maybe some agitation or just some, like, it's quite heightened. What would you suggest? It's almost like I'm going, oh, I'm aware that I'm being aware.
You're right, you're being aware. Yeah.
Is that okay? Like,
I think that's great in a way that, like, you are becoming kind of like hyper aware and hyper focused. But I think a big part of it is just maybe kind of using the breath also just to relax the body a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, because maybe with that hyper awareness, it's also like it's that connection with the mind and body as well, that the body is also super kind of focused as well on that.
Like my heart, I can feel my heart beating.
Yeah, so maybe just kind of doing a body scan with that, you know, and kind of observing in your body, like, how that comes up. Like, if it isn't, you know, with the heartbeat or like a tension. Like, I experience that, let's say, in different ways. And I try to just kind of like just breathe into that area and just try to relax and let it go, and then return back to the object of meditation. That's what I've found is helpful for me. And we'll do a little bit of that practice as well. Okay. So this kind of idea of equanimity, we talked about it before, and again, like, you know, I'm bringing it up again, not partly because it's part of the curriculum, but also because, you know, again, that familiarization, like this concept of equanimity, of like being aware of something, but not being interested in it, right? Not grasping. Okay, I'm aware that, like, there's an impulse there for something, right? There's something I desire or I have an aversion to, right? But not trying to, just observing it and not going with it, right? Not going there. And in this way, like, that distraction, rather than trying to block, close the door, it naturally, just becoming aware of it, it naturally loses its power. So it's like we're all, you know, we're sitting there, we're all, you know, meditating on the beach on a hot day, and we're all thinking of ice cream, right? And we want to block our mind from, like, thinking of ice cream. What's going to happen? You know, suddenly there's like the whole variety of ice creams are going to pop up, right? There's going to be everything from, you know, Magnums to Cornetto's to whatever, right? So it will just, like, it just kind of increases, right? That blocking increases. So the idea really is to observe, to be aware of it, and not to go there. See the ice cream, but I'm just gonna be aware of it, and I'm not gonna go there. I'm not gonna try to block it, right? But I'm not going to be interested in it. And then we just keep returning to the object of meditation again and again, right? In this case, today, the practice would be on the breath. Mostly on the breath. Okay. So before we do this meditation on the breath, again, by staying on that object of meditation, we're developing this skill, this mind training skill, like that links to our executive functioning, right, that I talked about earlier. Okay, where we have like the skill to focus our mind. And that can be on, you know, then on other tasks that we would use in our daily life as well, whether it's listening to a person, listening to our friend, when we're in a conversation, right? Focusing on an assignment in school or a task at work, right? Just like staying with cooking at home, whatever it is, like staying with that particular task without distraction. Exercising, right? Tomorrow morning's boot camp, pulling, right? being aware of like just like staying with those things and being aware of those things. Okay, and you'll find the more you do it, the better you'll get. You know. Oh, and the last thing was like, I think the importance of like bringing a sense of curiosity before we begin, a sense of curiosity to the practice, like approaching our sessions, our meditation sessions from, you know, we sit on the cushion, you know, bringing about a sense of curiosity, for example, so like I'm aware of being aware, right? Why is that happening, right? And not like giving yourself some grace, like that's wonderful. Like, you know, give yourself a pat on the back, right? Don't beat yourself up that you're being hyper aware, but just like have a sense of curiosity, like, okay, where is this coming from? All right, so we'll begin by just focusing a little bit on our posture. So our spines are long, upright, but not uptight. You can imagine like a beam of light shooting through your central nervous system, along your spine and up through the crown of your head. Pulling you taut. Just gently rest your hands where it feels comfortable. And just recall your higher aspirations. I'm training my mind. Bring peace and calm to myself and to all those around me. Allow yourself to relax. Let go of thoughts of the past and tomorrow. And bring your attention to your breath. It might be helpful if you connect with the breath as it enters your nostrils. Or as it fills your diaphragm. Whenever is easy, just be with the breath. When thoughts of attachment or aversion arise, just observe them. No need to go there. Just return to the breath. Your mind starts to wander. You can observe where it wants to go. Get a better understanding of the inner workings of your mind, the tendencies, the patterns. There's no need to judge. Just observe. And return to the breath. Again and again. And just bring your awareness back to the room. Before we continue on with the session, just spend a bit of time kind of reflecting on that kind of 15-minute experience. Using your awareness, did you manage to keep your attention on the breath the whole time? Where did it wander to? Where did your mind wander to? Just use a little bit of introspection. And see where those tendencies might be. And just conclude by doing a small dedication that this practice will help you to continue to bring your mind at ease and continue to help you develop limitless compassion, wisdom, and awareness for the benefit of all. And if you'd like, maybe you can do just a little bit of sharing in groups. Sometimes it can also just be like, you know, like a bad day, right? I mean, it's the same way as like, you know, if you're like a basketball player and you show up in the, you know, in the gym and you shoot, you know, 23 throws and you only make 3 of them, you know, it's like, oh, usually I make 15, you know, and it's just, it's a bad day. What do? You keep practicing, you know, that's also the reality, you know, and then like, and what's causing like those bad shots on that day? Like there could be so many little things, little factors, causes and conditions to create like that experience, right? But I mean, the next little session you could do could be different, right? And so you don't need to hold on to that, right? I think what's also helpful is just that analogy that like when the mind is more still, like you start to see the fish, right? Like very often, like we're thinking about all of these things, but we're not noticing them, right? Because like we're not actually actively practicing awareness. So, you know, throughout the day with all the tasks we're doing, like all these kind of emotions and experiences and frustrations are popping up anyway, but it's like because we're not aware of them, we're just kind of ignoring them and letting them be. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll just bring our attention back. So we kind of eavesdropped a bit on the group. Does anybody want to share anything? Yeah, Ruby?
I've been taught different ways of meditating, you know, that comes to the breathing, then four different paths. But now I adopt just no paths, nothing, just on my breath.
Just on your breath, yeah. And
I try to also look at the time to see whether I improve or not. And then I come to the stage that half an hour and then the time, you know, she just stopped. So now I'm going to do longer. But if I can do longer if I know that I have nothing coming up. If I know that I'm having a tender teaching, then, you know, I'm all like, and just
But even if like the meditation, you know, wasn't so good in your eyes or in your estimation, like I already kind of sense like within everyone's kind of relaxed a little bit more, and there's just a kind of more of an ease in terms of the way that people are sharing. So all of these like are positive things. And even, you know, as I was saying, like, even if, you know, you were getting a bit frustrated because like you're unable to stay with the breath and your mind was wandering, and maybe times when you weren't even aware they were wandering, like you got lost in a story, right? Just the fact that you're aware of all of those things, even the fact that you could say, oh, I got lost for a while, right? Like that's fantastic. And it shows that, like, you know, if you were just doing an ordinary activity during the day, you might not have observed all of those things that you just observed about yourself. You're born, not about yourself, about your practice, right? So I think that's really positive. Anything else? And then with the, you know, with the counting that you're saying, Ruby, like counting the breaths, like, you know, and you might use different tools at different times, right? But the counting sometimes can be very helpful for people, you know, to just like count 1 to 10 and then back down to 1, and just like, you know, using that as a breath to get started. And then maybe you're like, okay, now I'm started, now I'm focusing on the breath, you know. And at the beginning, you know, I overheard someone saying, but like, it's like the breath doesn't feel natural or easy because it's like you're focusing on it, right? Again, that's something that probably feels that way at the beginning, but how do we get to a state where we try to relax into it even more as well? Yeah, relaxing the body to relax the mind. So that's actually really good that you brought that up, because we're going to do a body scan now. You know, in terms of that element, you know, that if you are feeling a little bit more challenged with the breath, you know, very often also it's because like there's like discomfort in the body, like there's like a physical discomfort. And that's kind of what I mentioned to you, Georgie, as well, like when you talked about that, you know, thinking about the, you know, awareness, right? Hyper-aware, I think is, again, it's like using, where is that coming up in your body, right? When we're feeling stressed, when we're feeling upset, angry, like where do you feel that? When you're feeling angry, like where do you feel that in your body? You know, where does that frustration come from? Some people grit their teeth. Right, where does that, why does that, like, why are those physical things that come up? Okay. So we're just going to become a little bit more aware of the state of our body, our physical cells, and just try to release tension in this practice. So again, just adopt a comfortable posture. Again, upright, but not uptight. Just to try to bring a sense of relaxation and ease, just take a few deep breaths if you find it helpful. Just let go. We're going to move kind of from bottom to top. We'll just begin with moving your attention to your feet. Notice the sensations there. Feel a different temperature. Different pressure with the connection to the floor, to the cushion. Try to release any tension. of your attention up to your legs. Your knees are feeling a bit stiff sitting. Just be aware. Just breathe into it and let it go. And now bring your attention up to your pelvis. Base of your spine, your hips. Breathe into it and go. Now draw your attention to your belly button, your abdomen. If you're feeling any discomfort, just inhale energy. And exhale any kind. Pain or suffering. Bring your attention up to your heart. Just how your chest feels. Just breathe in energy, letting go of any tension and stress as you exhale. Just stay for a few more breaths at your heart, drawing in energy and warmth. And sending out that light. to others. Draw your attention to your throat. And move up to your face. To your forehead, letting go of any stress, letting go of any thoughts, just letting go. Completely. And now just rest for a few breaths in terms of open awareness of your whole physical state, your entire body. And just bring your attention back to the room. So maybe through that practice, you felt like there's maybe a specific place that you hold some of your attention. And if there is, and if you're aware of that, you can just try to breathe into those areas. Just trying to let go, you know, through the practice and connecting more with the body. So once we kind of settle the body and mind and balance it, then kind of the next step is like this fine tuning that we have to do, right? Because like actually there's while it can be really relaxing and peaceful to do a lot of these practices, they're the foundation. They're only really beneficial if we start cultivating more wholesome states of mind.
Right.
Because, okay, like, we can be really good at doing, you know, meditation on the breath and focus and concentration. But if it's not helping us to develop compassion for others and not helping us to be a, you know, happier person, then we're not developing, we're not using the practice to develop a more wholesome states of mind. So these words of Tilopa, I find, these six words of advice, I find to be really beneficial. And the, you know, in terms of just, and even when we're beginning the practice, even when we're beginning like meditation, the first thing is like, don't recall, let go of what has passed. So you come in and you just kind of let go of yesterday, let go of the last moment. Right, stay in the present, let go of what has passed. Don't imagine, don't need to think about the future, don't need to think about the next holiday, don't need to think about the weekend, don't need to think about dinner tonight, whatever it is, right? Let go of what will come. And then don't think, let go of what is happening now, right? Return to the breath, let go of what is happening now. Don't examine, don't try to figure anything out. We have this tendency that we need to figure it out, right? When we're doing that, even when we're doing analytical meditation or whatever, it's like, okay, we have these things that come into our mind, we want to kind of figure it all out, suss it out, right? Again, like when we're just trying to sit with this practice, don't examine, don't control, don't try to make anything happen, right? Don't try to bring about these feelings of whatever, you know. You don't necessarily like try to like, oh, I need to have some kind of realization, you know. Don't try to make it happen. Don't try to make the ice cream happen, right? Don't try to make the ice cream happen. Okay. But just rest, relax right now and rest. And I find those, like those six words of advice to be really powerful, actually. And a really great way, like I use them in sharing them because I kind of use them when I'm starting my practice, especially like this is just like a meditation on the breath, for example. I find it just to be like, okay, I'm not gonna think about the past, I'm not gonna think about the future, I'm not even gonna think right now. I'm not gonna try to figure anything out, I'm not gonna try to control anything. I'm just gonna be right here and rest. I found it to be really helpful. It also puts me to sleep at night. That's the rest part. Exactly. So I just think I've got 15 minutes. Yeah. So we've learned, like, you know, today we practiced recognizing our distractions without blocking them, without grasping, without feeling trying to be attached to them or telling a story, creating something. And this is something we need to continue to train. The key word being equanimity, right? Just observing with awareness, without judgment, and returning again and again to the breath. Whatever it is that we're experiencing, you know, just letting it be without going after it.
Right.
And then again, like, you know, I think we talked about this earlier, just like what I think is something that we need to continue to cultivate along with that curiosity is learning how to find the right amount of energy to give our practice. Right. So we need that discipline and that determination, right? To get up in the morning, to go to boot camp, to like cook a delicious dinner, to go to work, whatever it is, we need that. We need that same kind of determination on the cushion, but we can't force it, right? We can't force it. So it's like finding that balance of being there with it, with the energy, the enthusiasm, but also being calm and easy about it also. That's why I kind of like that upright, not uptight. right, and that, and just that analogy that the Buddha himself said, right? The Buddha himself said, right? Like, I mean, I think it was a difference, a sitar, I think, you know, an ancient Indian instrument. But like, if you think of a violin, for example, right? If the strings are too taut, too tight, right? Or if they're too loose, it doesn't produce the sound. Right. So find the right sound. So finding that the balance. And that's the same with our own minds. We don't want to be too highly strung, too tense. Right. But I also like talk to people who do meditation practice and like, I can't meditate because it always makes me fall asleep. Right. So many people, a lot of people say that as well. It just puts me right to sleep. It's like, okay, good, it's relaxing. It's again trying to find that again, that determination. Like, why is it putting you to sleep? Maybe a different posture. No. You don't want, that's why maybe some people who like to meditate lying down or something like that might put you to sleep. Right. And again, like, I think that curiosity is like using our introspection to be aware of things. Right. So like observing your mind and the stories we tell ourselves, and you know, when that, and that, these two meditation sessions we did today, like you can go back and think about what you're gonna try to do next time. You know, either before you go to sleep tonight or tomorrow morning when you wake up. And again, like, how do we create these habits? So we're doing this every day because like we're making this effort. How do we, which is wonderful, but how do we do it in a daily, how do we create a daily habit, even if it's just for 5 minutes, 10 minutes? And I think, I mean, everybody's different, but if we can, if it's like first thing in the morning, if we're able to do that before we do anything else, it's probably the best, because otherwise everything else gets in the way really quickly and easily. Right. So even if it's just like, okay, I'm just going to sit, even if it's just for 3 minutes, the length of time that I brush my teeth, it's cultivating a habit. Right. Brush my teeth before I go to bed. I brush my teeth when I wake up. 3 minutes, 3 minutes, 2 minutes. Right. I do the same thing. Right. Before I go to bed, 2 minutes. Meditation, 2 minutes when I wake up. Slowly it grows, like just to develop those habits. So we'll just do one final meditation tonight. Again, we're going to go back to the breath with introspection. But we're going to do something a little bit different because, well, if you want to, and you don't have to go there, you can continue just with the meditation. But Ruby asked me if I would do some guidance on Tonglin practice, which is basically the practice of giving and exchanging oneself with others, giving and taking, exchanging oneself with others. Okay, so it's a little bit based on Lama Zopa Rinpoche's advice. And it's a way of like really generating compassion as well. Right, generating bodhicitta, the wish to, you know, bring happiness to others and take away their suffering. And so we actually actively do that in this practice where we visualize, once we've kind of done the same practice as we've done before with the breath, we'll visualize ourselves taking in all the suffering of all beings, right? We can, like, animals and humans, and whatever you like, all beings that you kind of can imagine or visualize, and you take all their suffering upon yourself, right? Their pain, their frustration, their sorrow, their hunger, their fear. And you take it upon yourself in the form of like a black smoke, and you take it right on your heart. And you imagine that it just completely blasts, like completely erupts your self-cherishing thought, your ego. Right? It kind of blows it to smithereens. And as it does that, you just kind of like rest in an awareness of the emptiness of all phenomena. Right, that all that suffering that everyone experiences is created by so many causes and conditions, which are in turn created by so many causes and conditions, which are in turn are created by so many causes and conditions. There's dependent origination, which is limitless, but they don't exist from their own side. They don't exist at all from their own side. So you just kind of rest in that awareness of emptiness. And then when you exhale, you kind of exhale out like all your love and compassion in the form of like crystal light or rainbow light, skies of wish granting jewels. Right? Your whole body is that, and you just give that to all sentient beings. You give all beings your good qualities, your unconditional love and compassion, your wisdom, your awareness, your possessions, everything you own, your favorite hat, your favorite sweater, your favorite breakfast, your whatever it is, you know, you give it all away. You give it all away. Okay. So we'll do that for the last 15 minutes or so. You don't have to do the whole Tonglen practice. That was just a little example, and I'll explain it when we do it. If you don't want to do it, you don't have to. You just continue to focus on the breath and ignore me.
There's a question before we start. You should take in the suffering and you breathe in into that yogic meditation.
Yeah, like in a black smoke. Like something like you're taking in, or everybody's something like it can be like in a dark, like a dark smoke, a black smoke, and you take it onto your self-cherishing thought, this grasping, ego grasping, right? If you ask a little kid to point to themselves, you know, they usually point right here. Where are you? Here, right? We have this sense of self that is somehow like around our heart, right? It's like, and that's like this that's the ego, the self-cherishing thought, you know, and we just want to absolutely destroy it, because that self-cherishing thought is what is the cause of all our dissatisfaction, all our unhappiness, all our suffering. Okay, so we'll just recall our aspiration, we cultivate wisdom and compassion, peace in our hearts and minds, the world be free of suffering, war, conflict, and hunger. And that I'm meditating now to help make that happen. Just connect to your breath. And use your breath to relax your body and your mind. Use your awareness to notice any places of discomfort. Just breathe in, just notice your body breathe. Keep your awareness firmly on your breath. Through your nostrils, into your abdomen, now through your mouth. And breathe naturally. Now, if you wish, I invite you to imagine that you're taking in the suffering of all beings as you inhale. Taking in everybody's problems. Drawing them to your self-cherishing thought. Explode at your heart. And taking their pain, their suffering, the causes of their suffering. Attachments and aversion. our rest and awareness, this suffering is made up of causes and conditions. It does not exist from its own side. Completely empty of inherent existence. It's merely labeled by the mind. And in return, we share out in the form of love and compassion. Rainbow light. Wish granting jewels, all your happiness, all your wealth, all your possessions, all your enjoyments, you give to every sentient being so they may experience your happiness, they may experience your joy. They may experience your comfort. They may experience your love. I'll conclude the practice with our dedication. That all beings have happiness and causes of happiness. May all beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all beings never be separated from the supreme joy that is beyond all sorrow. And may all beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment and aversion. Thank you, everyone. I did a little bit better today, 8:03.